Several years ago, I was watching a nature show about Niagara Falls, and it was spring and the ice was rushing down the river. The show featured large blocks of ice flowing towards the falls, and there were carcasses of dead fish embedded in the ice. Seagulls by the score were riding down the river, feeding on those fish. And as they came to the brink of the falls, their wings would go out and they would escape from the falls. Well, there was one gull that seemed to delay. It was engrossed in the carcass of one fish, and when it finally came to the brink of the falls, out went its powerful wings. The bird flapped and flapped and even lifted the ice out of the water, and I thought it would escape, but it had delayed too long so that its claws had frozen into the ice. The weight of the ice was just too great, and the gull plunged into the abyss. Well, I'm reminded of that scene when I hear of Adam and Eve and how they were deceived in the garden by the serpent. They, too, had become so entrapped by pride that they shut their ears to God. When that apple was in their mouths and they could taste the sweet juice, it was too late. Their attachments to worldly pleasure drug them down and away from their perfect relationship with God. Well, why is sin so alluring? We all have good intentions to do our best and to accept the will of God, but so many times we fail. We fail because we're inclined to follow our passions and we let our pride get in the way. And our world is also full of distraction and noise. It's difficult to hear God's call and know how to act accordingly sometimes. But our readings today coach us to use Jesus as our model of discipleship and obedience to God and his plan for us. Genesis reminds us our first parents didn't listen to God. That was their first sin. Temptation became too much for them. And when they turned away from God's plan, they come to know what sin is, that it's separation from God and his love for us. The rest of the story is much more hopeful because God doesn't leave us there. He never abandons us in our sin. He never gives up on those he loves. Even St. Paul reminded the Romans that the Father sent his Son to save us. This is how God reaches out to us to bring us back. Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross allowed the sin of Adam and Eve to be reversed. And through Jesus, we have the opportunity to know our great dignity as God's own beloved sons and daughters. Our baptism plunged us into the paschal mystery of Christ so that we could inherit the promise of resurrection and eternal life. A great father of the church, Gregory of Nazianzus, warned us that we must not expect baptism to free us from the temptations of our persecutor. We see that even Jesus goes through a Lenten journey of sorts after his baptism by John. His baptism shows his complete dependence upon the Father, but then the devil pops up. He knows Jesus is hungry and weary from his retreat in the desert. So he uses common and ordinary desires to tempt Jesus to turn away from the Father. Well, 1 John tells us, all that's in the world, sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life, is not of God, but of the evil one. And these are what Jesus faces. He faces three tests revolving around each of these themes. He'll not fall for any of the devil's traps. He even rebukes the devil's attempts and presents himself as the perfect servant of the Father. And it's his obedience to his Father that allows him to demonstrate how we're to trust in a God who loves us deeply. During this Lent, we too will be tempted, not only to keep our Lenten resolutions of giving up meat on Friday or chocolate or swearing, but also we will be drawn away from following God as our head. So many things in our world prohibit us from seeing God as he is, seeing God as a loving and providing Father. Addiction draws us away. Anger clouds our vision. Judgment, suffering, sickness, abandonment, loneliness, all of these are tearing us away like a child from a loving parent. Even the simplest of thoughts. I don't need to go to that church event. It'll be too long or it'll be too boring. All these thoughts allow the devil into our hearts, and they turn into stone. I'm just really concerned when only 30 out of 3,000 of our parishioners come to an adult enrichment evening. Are we all so busy we don't have time to grow in our faith or learn? During Lent, we have planned spiritual events to help us open our hearts to God. We have soup suppers, Stations of the Cross on Fridays. Each 13th of the month during this anniversary year of Our Lady of Fatima, our events are less than 2 hours each. That's shorter than most ball games. We've even went a step further to make it convenient by showing a video series on Mary after the Sunday Masses. So, for your benefit and happiness, I encourage you, open your hearts a little, if not a lot, this Lent. I know many of you live very stressful lives. I see the anxiety on your faces. So remember, these things are for you. Give them a chance. If we don't each do something, our parish may dry up, just like a prune detached from the vine of a tree. You know, the Sunday Mass can't be all things for all people, but we have to enrich our spiritual lives in other ways as well. So let's start by following Jesus' example, rejecting the lies and the deception of the world around us and the lies we tell ourselves. Refuse them. Be willing to open yourself up, to trust in God, and to follow wherever He leads.